ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
इद्वे गृहां तत्पश्यन्ति नाति प्रीतेन चेतसा सर्वभूताश्रया
विज्ञा
प्रावोचत्
कर्णमत्स्वया
इद्वे गृहां तत्पश्यन्ति नाति प्रीतेन
चेतसा
सर्वभूताश्रया विज्ञा प्रावोचत् कर्णमत्स्वया Idrik, such, Riham, house, Tat, that, Pashyandi, looking at, Na Atipritena, not much pleased, Chetasa, with a heart. Sarvabhuta of everyone. Ashaya abhigyaha, understanding the heart. Pravochat, he addressed. Karnamaha, Swayam, personally. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When he saw Devahuti looking at the gigantic, opulent palace with a displeased heart, Kardava Muni could understand her feelings because he could study the heart of anyone. Thus he personally addressed his wife as follows. Purport. Devahuti had spent a long time in the hermitage, not taking much care of her body. She was covered with dirt, and her clothing was not very nice. Kardavamuni was surprised that he could produce such a palace. And similarly, his wife, Devahuti, was also astonished. How could she live in that opulent palace? Kardavamuni could understand her astonishment. And thus he spoke as follows. So these are what we see here are symptoms characteristic of advanced, very advanced souls, great devotees of the Supreme Lord. Vaishnavair, Kriya Mudra, Vigyeha, Labujai. Even a great scholar cannot necessarily understand the kriya and the mudra of a Vaishnava, the behavior and his gestures, they're inscrutable to non-devotees. Non-devotees cannot understand the behavior of a Vaishnava, and they can understand what a Vaishnava is meaning to say. Because the
behavior and the communication of Vaishnava is on a whole different level. It's not at all material. The feelings that a Vaishnava have, a pure Vaishnava has, are transcendental. He may express anger, but that's not material anger. In this case, there's some sexual attraction, but that's for a spiritual purpose in this case. Krishna says, Dharma virutok bhuteshu kamosmi. I am myself. Sexual desire, which is not against Vrindavan's principles. So how can we say that this is against Vrindavan's principles? The product of this combination is going to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some people have a superficial idea of what a sadhu is supposed to be. That a sadhu should never get angry. Prabhupada got angry a lot. In the beginning, he was very pampering to his new infant disciples, but when they became a little mature, he could be very severe with them, with his more mature disciples, chastising them very heavily, becoming very angry. But that was not a material anger. So, when Kardama himself is surprised to see this palace created, even though it was his creation, but he didn't know that he had it in him to create such a thing. And also, Kardama says, Sarva Bhuta Ashaya Abhigya. He's able, he's got this mystic power, he can see inside the heart of anybody. Generally, we can't do that at all. You can see something of the condition of someone's mind from his facial gestures. The Prabhupada said, he quoted the expression, the face is the index of the mind. So, yeah, you get some indication, if you can look at someone's face and you can know how to understand the bodily gestures, especially of the face, then you can have some psychological insight. But that's just partial and indirect. There's no direct access we have to understanding, not by material mind and senses, to understanding what is in the heart, in the mind of another person. We can see their body, but we cannot see their mind. The mind is totally invisible. Only because it has some influence on the body, we can see the effects that it has on the body. But directly we don't see the mind. We don't. But a very advanced devotee may gain the mystic power to be able to see the mind. That's called self-realization. See yourself. But if you can see your soul, you, the soul, you should be able to see the mind also. That's just material, even though it's subtle. That's self-realization. And then the ability may be there also to see other people's minds. What's going on? But that's only a special power granted to very advanced yogis. Kardama had that power. He didn't have to be told by his wife what she was feeling. So he was an expert husband because he didn't have, he could, very often wives don't tell what the problem is and the husbands get in trouble. Because she doesn't say anything. He doesn't know that she's feeling something wrong. And then, it goes on for years and months and years like that. Go on for a whole lifetime. Because of poor communication. The Kardama doesn't have that problem. He can directly perceive what his mind is, what his wife is feeling and thinking. Great advantage for a husband. Most husbands don't have that advantage, that power. So, that he can avoid the complication of his wife not feeling, I've been living now in rags in this hot doing menial service. Now I'm supposed to become a princess in a royal palace? That's okay, I was like that. I was living like that when I was before I was married, but now I'm the sage's wife. So, you know, I don't know, that doesn't seem right. You know, I've given up that old life, and now I'm living a life of austerity. I thought we were yogis here. So she has that doubt in her mind, and Kardama can perceive it. He doesn't have to wait for his wife 3 weeks later to tell him what she thinks. He can perceive it immediately. And therefore, he's got his, I don't know what he says. What's the next verse? Can I read it? A sneak preview of tomorrow's verse. My dear Devahuti, you look very much afraid. First bathe in Lake Bindusarovara, created by Lord Vishnu himself, which can grant all the desires of a human being, and then mount this airplane. That's all he says. He doesn't, it's not the time, in her confused condition, there's no use in trying to explain everything philosophically, theoretically. He tells her, don't worry, go take a bath in the Bindusarovara Lake. Your mind will cool down. And Kardama knows that these, or he doesn't know, but these celestial maidens will appear in the middle of the lake and become the maidservants of Devahuti. And she won't reject. Yeah. It's actually very attractive, pleasing to her that this opulence is being offered to her. She accepts it. That's not inappropriate. A Vaishnava is not out of line when he accepts some opulence that will help him do his service to Krishna. It's out of line when he's making endeavor to get opulence that he doesn't really need, which is something we do a lot. You know, we're living in a consumeristic world. Now it's in India also. Consumerism has become the real religion of the land. The president of India is a big materialist. This, what's his name? Cullum? He's a scientist. He's just talking about how India has to become a progressive, an advanced country, by the blessings of technology. And he writes poems on that subject, not very good poems. I told the devotee who was hosting me in Bangalore, Chakrabarti, he doesn't look like a very good poet. And he said, well, he's not a really good politician either. I wouldn't say this in public. Anyway, he's the president of India. The whole country is on the path of materialism. The religion is the same thing we ran away from in our countries. This consumerism. Now it's chased us like Indra being chased by that witch who personified his sins. So that witch of consumerism has chased us halfway around the world to India. When I first came to India in 1975, it wasn't like this here. But now it's just as bad. But it's not, that's inappropriate. But because we're addicted to advertising, just because on television or on some signboard, they tell us we need such and such, the newest machine, the newest model, with all the innovations, all the gadgets. When we get the idea we need it, when we don't really need it. When we are endeavoring to acquire things that we don't actually need, that's inappropriate. And we can look at ourselves and ask, are we doing that a lot? But to accept some facility, material facility, that actually will make the difference between doing our service nicely and not being able to do it, that's appropriate. And Devahuti, that's all she's doing here. It's not out of line. For her to accept these maidservants and accept living in that palace and enjoying with her husband is not inappropriate. That's her service for Krishna in this case. Because we shouldn't imitate. These are the Prajapatis, Kardama. My brother, this is Kardama, and then Kashyapa, who has 13 wives. And he provides for each one of those wives, opulently. Or at least adequately. So the Prajapatis, their main service, Lord Brahma reminds them that you just go ahead and populate the universe, have good children. He told Swayambhuva Manu in, I think, 14th chapter of the third canto. Because Swayambhuva was the first Prajapati. The other Prajapatis, the other rishis born before him, were celibate. They were the mind-born sons of Brahma. Swayambhuva and his wife, Shatarupa, were the first couple who engaged in sexual relationship. Before that, there was no sex in the material world. But he told Swayambhuva, don't be embarrassed. You just go ahead and beget children who are as good as you, who have similar qualities to yourself, and the Supreme Lord will be satisfied with you. What else do you want? That's the service of Prajapati. But we shouldn't think that we're also Prajapatis, and we should have 50 children and 13 wives. Yeah. In most cases, we're not fit to be Prajapatis. If we have more than two children, we'll probably have to work like dogs for 30 years just to make enough money to support the family, and our spiritual life will go to hell. What kind of Prajapati is that? If you can do it, if you're qualified, okay, but most of us are not qualified to take the role of Prajapati. But Kardama is. He's going to have 9 daughters and 1 special son. That's a big family already, 10 children. The government of India, modern government of India, wouldn't approve of that, having 10 children. They probably would chastise Kardama for having so many children. But we don't find that inappropriate. It's even glorified by Brahma himself. Before it happened, he told Narada, long time ago, Jagye Chakardama Rehe Dvija Deva Bhutya Strimik Samam Navabhyat Nagati. So he was born, Kapila Dev was born in the house of Kardama, in the womb of Devahuti, along with seven girls, his sisters. So they're mentioned. They're not just unwanted children. Again, nowadays, very often parents go to get ultrasound observation of the embryo to determine whether it's a male or female. And if it's a female, they have an abortion. Because they don't want to pay a dowry. They don't want the burden of a daughter. How sinful that is. But it wasn't considered inauspicious that Kardama had 9 daughters. These daughters all became the wives of other Prajapatis. They also helped fulfill the plan of Lord Brahma, which is actually the mission of Lord Narayana. This is what needed to be done in the material world. Fill it up. The living entities are waiting to get places in the material world. You've got to create bodies for them. That Narayana doesn't need that for himself. He can take all the living entities back to Vaikuntha, but they don't want to go. So he has to provide the material world for them. That material world has to be populated, and the Prajapatis do that job. That's service for Narayana. So Kardama has done that service very nicely. Whatever he's doing here, whatever he's saying is very appropriate. Similarly, Devahuti, what she's feeling, what she says and does is also very appropriate, auspicious. Normally, in the Bhagavatam, there are a long list of genealogy, a total of about 3,200 people are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. We always hear that so-and-so is the son of so-and-so and his son is so-and-so. But very, very less frequently we're told who their wife was or who their mother was. The women are not as prominent. Only when they're very special women, spiritually advanced women. So these nine daughters of Kardama must also be very advanced women. Especially since they became the wives of nine Vrajapatis. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram. Jai Shri Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Shri Gaur Nitai. Okay, so are there any questions or comments? Yes,
please. No question. I noticed that before, the Supreme Personality of God would take birth in somebody's womb, several numbers of some numbers of children they brought before him, like this 9-year-old Krishna.
Yes.
Why?
It doesn't have to happen. In some incarnations, the Lord is the only child. I don't know if I can think of one. Lord Ramachandra was the oldest of his siblings. Right? He was born first. In the case of the six sons of Brahma, who chastised, who criticized Brahma for chasing after his daughter, they were cursed to take birth, to take birth three times. So they took birth as sons of Hiranyakashipu and were killed. They took birth as sons of Devaki and were killed. And this was the third time also. Kaladevi's sons before that. Okay, so that was a special circumstance. I think they also took birth again as the first children of Jagannath Mishra and Shashi Devi. Those were also the same snakes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that accounts for several of them. They're the same people taking birth again.
Did they get the liberation?
They were already liberated when they joined Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. They got liberation when Kamsa killed them, at that time. And they joined, they got liberation, but they came to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes to get prema.
Even Krishna went and brought him when they were
given the axe. Yes, he brought them back, yeah. So, and then they drank the same milk that Krishna drank, so they got liberated by that.
Yeah.
By sharing the breast that Krishna drank from. So liberation they got during Krishna's pastimes. But they came back to get pure prema from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, that's several of these persons. They're all the same people. Same six brothers. Marichi and others, no? I think so. Marichi. Or sons of Marichi.
Sons of Marichi.
Sons of Marichi, yeah. I think, they have their own names. I think they're sons of Marichi. It's there in Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary in the 10th chapter, I can check. Hare Krishna. Anything else?
Is it maybe that a lot of Devadevi's anxiety here is that while this wonderful palace has become manifested, she's still in rags and in...
Yeah, what am I supposed to do with this? just like this, I'm supposed to go into the palace? Yeah, that's part of it too. I mean, that's obvious. A Brahmachari may not care what kind of rags he's dressed in. He can go anywhere. He doesn't think about a woman, concerned about how she's dressed. But some men are like that too. Yeah, some Brahmacharis are like that. They have to dress very, very, very nicely, unless they don't feel presentable. Other Brahmacharis don't care. But generally, women are very concerned. I can't go anywhere. I don't have the clothes. Yeah, that's also there. So,
Hare Krishna. Okay. Thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.